Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. That the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance, which no man could have dreamt would have come his way. William Hutchinson Murray. Have you ever made similar experiences when you were really committed to something? In order to make your ideal life more and more a reality, at one point or another, you will most certainly need commitment. Bonjour, dear ladies, and welcome to a new module. This week, we are going to explore commitment under different angles, or rather, we're going to look at how your home can help you to stay committed so that providence can start to move too and unleash all those unforeseen events to help you. Maybe you already know what you are or what you want to be committed to in order to progress towards your best self, your ideal life. If not, now is the moment to go back to your notes of the guided meditation in lesson one of module one. What kind of commitment will move you to your next step on your journey forward? It doesn't have to be something earth-shattering, right? Please find one commitment and write it down in your worksheet. This will be the one you are going to work with this week. Now, on to lesson one. We are going to start with focus because commitment requires focus, wouldn't you agree? Let's explore focus. On your way towards your ideal life, home, and self, what do you want to focus on and how does this translate into your home? Now, arguably, we, of course, worked with focus since the beginning of this program. We have been focusing on creating the kind of home for the kind of woman you want to be, on eliminating things that were drawing your focus into the wrong direction, and on enhancing and growing things that were worth your energy. We are now going to look at three major effects of focus that will considerably help you to stay committed to whatever it is you choose. The first effect of focus is one of flow and grow. The rule here is a simple one. Energy flows where attention goes, or what you focus on grows. Of course, you want to grow the right things in your life, which starts by focusing on the right things. To give you focus, your home needs focus, right? For that, every room in your home needs a focal point. Now, when I say room, very much like in module two, in the lesson about organization, room can be replaced by zone, area, corner, whatever. So, back to the focal point. What is a focal point? A focal point in your room is where the eye goes first, where the energy flows towards, the center of gravity, so to speak. In my office, the focal point is the desk. In my bedroom, the focal point is obviously the bed. Oftentimes, the focal point in a room is the biggest piece of furniture. A room without a focal point is a room where the eye has nothing to rest upon. For instance, a room filled to the brim with clutter. You don't know where to look. Or a room with furniture that feels completely random, like the movers dropped it just somewhere without any rhyme or reason. Each room, again, room as in any form of container, each room works best if it has a focal point, as does each life and even each day. And of course, the focal points develop at certain stages in your life or times in your day. Your focal point might be your family. At other stages, it might be your relationship or your health or your career or your dog or traveling or your garden. Like with your home, if there is a focal point, it doesn't mean that there's nothing else happening. There's nothing else in the room or in the life. There can and will be many other beautiful ingredients and features, but it works best if they evolve around one focal point. Let's have a look at what creating a focal point will do for you. Number one, creating focal points in each room will help you create them in other areas in your life. A, by the creative action itself you take, and then B, of course, by what the room mirrors back to you. As I said, flow and grow. The energy, the attention flows towards the focal point. And the more focused is placed on something, the stronger it becomes. So you want to make sure it's the right feature. If an ugly sofa, let's say, is tucked away in a dark corner, it doesn't have the same impact on you as if it takes the center of your living room. Translated to your life, if you have to do something that is really not your happy place, let's say accounting, and you have to do that 3 times a year, then it doesn't have the same effect on you as if you had to make your living with it every single day. So the first effect of focus is to help you emphasize the right flow and grow. The second effect is one of discernment. With a focal point, you find it easier to see, and in some cases to admit, the unimportance of nearly everything else. A focal point helps you to not get distracted by the other stuff. Have you ever heard of the Pareto principle, or it's called the 80-20 rule? If not, just Google it. It's really very interesting. In a nutshell, it states that 80% of the effect comes from 20% of the causes. So probably 80% of what most people fill their days with has as little as 20% of connection, of value, of results to what it is they see as their ideal life. And in that context, 20% is probably optimistic. In your home, 20% of all the things you have bring 80% of the results you want to have. So put the focus on those 20% and not on everything else. What in your home could be less but better to help you focus? Can you see how the right focal point makes so many other things in the room unimportant? That was number two. The third effect of focus is a very important one. It's landing. Sometimes, consciously or not, you might hesitate to properly land in a home. Generally because a situation is not permanent. Typically, people do not want to invest into a home to make it more beautiful or more functional because it is rented. And of course, there is an element of common sense to that. But you always need to land properly before you can take off properly. Let me give you an example. Whenever I travel, the first thing I do wherever I arrive is to unpack my suitcase and to put everything away, even if it's just for one night. Because that really helps me to land properly, and that has a huge effect on the quality and the energy with which I do whatever I set out to do in that place. Or let's take another example, a trampoline, for example. If you want to have a good takeoff, you need to jump so that you really land on the trampoline. Otherwise, if you don't do that, you don't really land and you sort of hover around and you don't really get traction and clarity and energy and impetus to take off again. So focus helps you landing in a home, in a project, in your work, on yourself. And proper landing helps you focus. So ask yourself, how can you land more in your space and anchor yourself? Not because you plan to stay there until you die, but in order to gain stability for your next move. So please choose a room, take your worksheet, and start to explore the room's focal point. Is it the right focal point? Right for your commitment, right for what you want to do. On a scale of 1 to 10, which you know by now, how much does your focal point in the room help you to actually focus on what it is you're committed to? So get clear, what's your intention with the focal point? Where do you want to land? Not only with the feature in the room, but more importantly, with the activity, with the feeling. So if it is the right focal point for your room and for your current life situation, for example, during the corona lockdown, many people needed and wanted to switch the focal points in their home so that they fitted the new situation. Kitchens became the true center of family life, dining tables became home offices, and space in a room became suddenly more important than status furniture. So if it is the right focal point, how can you make it even more focused? For example, in my office here, I have books, shelves, plants, pictures, but the focal point is clearly the desk. To make that point even more focused would mean that I have nothing else on the desk but my computer, pens, notepad, a candle, and water. And I should like to state for the record that very regularly, this is the state of my desk, okay? Before you ask. So, if you have the right focal point, does it have the right appropriate strength? A focal point can be too weak. For example, let's say the focal point in your kitchen is your kitchen table, but it's way too small for what you want to do. That would be a focal point that is too weak. It can also be too strong. To stay with our example, if the kitchen table is so big that it doesn't leave space for anything else, then the focal point is too strong. So please share pictures of your focal points and what they do for you. The more example you'll see, the clearer you'll get. And I'll see you in the next lesson. Au revoir.